following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
First, let me tell you about True Car. Mm-hmm. Every car comes with stories. How do you put a price on those stories? Well, I'll tell you how you put a price on those stories. You go to True Car. That's right. So, do you have the luxury package? Did you buy it after the big promotion? How many miles are on it? What's going on? Well, you can't put a price on all those stories, but you can put a price on your car with True Car. Find out what it's worth. Just go to True Car. Enter your license plate number, watch your car's details come popping up, then answer a few easy questions. Does it have navigation? Does it have a moonroof? These things are all going to factor in. Watch as they bump up the value. Is it high mileage? Might bring it down a couple of clicks. Well, you'll know what's going on. You'll figure out exactly what your car's worth. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to your local certified True Car dealer to cash it out, or you trade it in. So when you're ready for a better car buying experience and you want to trade in a car, you want to cash out a car, you always go with True Car. True Cash Offer, not available in all areas.
And welcome to Corolla Classics for September 7th, 2019. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This is a show where we're going to highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show over 10 years of podcasting. And you're going to hear You're going to hear some nice clips today. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And that is Corolla Archivist Superfan Giovanni.
We got some good ones today, everybody.
Oh, we totally do. I'm really excited for this first clip. Let's just get right into it. This is a listener request. It was tweeted to us by @DrHenryHill, and he just writes, Corolla Classics request, Baldywood review of Anchorman 2.
Now, this has been requested by several people, and they'll tear our heads off or some other weird expression if we don't mention them. DM'd to me and also on Twitter from a private account who's actually found this guy's tweet and said, hey, I asked you for this several months ago and we didn't play it, but now we're finally playing it. So for every person who has requested it, that's why we're playing this clip. We were originally going to play it last week. Something happened with the upload, so now we have today, and I tacked down a little bit extra with Def Frat Guy from Adam Carolla Show 1239. Def Frat Guy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is January 2014. Brian saw he saw Anchorman 2, and he reviewed it for Baldywood, and this is what he thought.
Brian, you saw Anchorman 2.
Yeah.
I've not seen it yet, so I'm very interested to hear what your review is.
Here we go.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood!
Anchorman 2 was fucking garbage.
Oh!
Hooray for Baldywood!
Wow, I am confused. I've heard some pretty good things about it. I haven't heard bad things about it.
Usually Brian is so positive about movies.
I love Judd Apatow, but Gary is agreeing with Bald Brian.
I absolutely will agree with him.
Did you not even laugh once?
I saw it in the theater with two other people, one below and one in front, and there was nary
a
laugh.
Weird place to make your wife
shit. I know,
shit.
Right? There was nary a laugh in the theater.
Wow.
I snickered once at a sort of off-color racist joke, which I tend to do, but it was very, very, very quiet.
What's it coming in at on Rotten Tomatoes?
I have no idea, actually.
Now I'm looking back at all the promotion, the incredible amount of promotion, and making me wonder if they were protesting too much.
It was easily the worst film I've seen this year.
Wow.
Easily. Worse than The Internship. Worse than Burt Wonderstone. Yeah.
Wow.
Bad.
Now, all critics at 75%.
Holy fuck.
Top critics, though, dipping down. Usually movies inch up with the top.
This I can't is envision a scenario in which a critic sat in a theater and laughed at this movie.
This is one of those things.
Please see this. Please see this at some point.
Okay. This is one of those things that's very interesting. According to
Rotten Tomatoes. The critics, all critics, 75%. Top critics, 69%, and then audience, 63%, which is, like I said, very weird. It's only once in a while in a movie like Drive where the critics be high and the audience be low. But even that's 93 versus 86 or whatever it is. The audience, you take the worst of the worst of the Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, it's like Bucky Larson or something.
Yes,
along those lines.
Piece of shits like that. And those movies will be in at 11%. And the audience will be 49%. Like, it'll be dramatically, because it's like the audience wanted to see an Adam Sandler movie. The critics thought it was a piece of shit, but the audience wanted to see it. That is weird.
Yeah, it's really weird on a movie like this.
Unbelievably bad.
His leads you to this question. Mm. I like Judd Apatow a lot. Has he lost his fastball?
He didn't direct this. This is Adam McKay.
Yeah.
He didn't direct or write it. Production.
He was a producer, but I read an interview that said he had minor involvement.
That's what I want to say. Has Adam McKay lost Judd Apatow's fastball?
Well, okay, real question then. There's really funny people involved. There's Will Ferrell, there's Steve Carell, there's Adam McKay and Dave Koechner and
Paul Rudd
and Fred Willard and all these people. Kristen Wiig's in this and she's in this. When really funny people are making something that is so bereft of humor, do they know? Do they know? They must know. They must know that no one's going to laugh at this.
I oftentimes
that they're making bad jokes or
well, there's a couple of things, you know. There are guys who were you think you're the architect of the Golden Gate Bridge and you just built this IHOP in Norwalk. You must know that this is a piece of shit based on what you've done. You know, like, you've done such amazing things. Don't you know that this is, you know, I felt that way. I'm always curious that way with, like, Mel Brooks. Like, I felt like, man, you've done some really cool things. Don't you know that this is horrific? Like, why wouldn't you know this? You did the other thing.
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
It's not that you just do this. You've done other things that were really good. But I guess you could say that with bands. It's you know, Hall & Oates. It's like you did Sarah Smile and then you did Maneater. Like, why didn't you know? You're capable of so much better. How come you didn't know this?
Well, what do you think happened? I mean, were they too self-aware? Were they trying to be too anchorman-y or?
Cynically, I think it was just a cash grab. Just, hey, there's an opportunity. People love the first one and we're going to make a second one. We're all going to get paid. I think it was cynically, I think that's what it was.
How did it fool the critics?
That's really baffling. Gary saw it and I think he agreed with me.
There's 75% for comedy, because comedies are tough because they split people a lot. They get critics going a lot of different directions and
they just don't agree on everything. The only thing I can think of is that for all the money they spent on promotion, I'm sure they spent a similar amount on the parties and screenings they threw for the critics. So
yeah, that happens a lot.
Maybe there was a little bit of, you know, you treat
so it's right.
This.
It's why the top critics are lower than the all critics.
And why the audience is lower than all
right.
critics. I have a theory. Gary, pull up the score for Anchorman 1, because I think maybe the critics may have missed the boat on that one. And it was a sleeper hit, and it was a makeup call. This is, we don't want to miss the boat again. I have a feeling that was a sleeper, like, came on strong after the fact.
66.
Yeah.
So here it is. All critics on Anchorman 2 gets a 75. The first one, which is dramatically better.
Yeah. I say at this point it's a classic comedy. Modern classic comedy.
Got 9 points less, which is unfathomable to someone who saw both of them, like you.
Yeah.
So you feel they missed the boat
up
and they're making up for
it. Up that first one by 25 points and drop this one by about 75 points.
Wow, down to zero.
I think this is the first ever F in Bollywood history. It's just an abject nothing there. You guys should see it.
All right.
See it. Bring in endorsement.
I'm intrigued. Yeah. Back with the great one, the deaf rat guy.
That's a foo.
Yeah, everyone loves the deaf rat guy. DFG.
What up, bro?
Thanks for coming out. I know we have a spirited round of JV or all balls.
It's all good.
And also we're going to do... Maybe we'll do some blah, blah, blah. I feel by the time we get to JV or all balls, we'll probably be rolling into some news. But let's do that, because this is quickly becoming my favorite segment of the show, the JV or all balls.
His reasoning is dizzying, too.
Do you think JV or all balls is JV or all balls?
Well, oh, I see. I mean, it's all balls. I mean, for
hell
sure.
Yeah,
I could easily see Howie Mandel or Seacrest hosting this in syndication.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And getting families together.
That's right.
You know,
with the family huddles together.
Uh huh.
Like Family Feud style.
Yeah. Uh huh. Peeing while, you know, we'd tame it down a little, but like peeing while you're in the shower. JV or all balls, everyone getting together and huddling around, you know? Well, it saves water. Definitely saves water. I mean, people are very, you know, environmentally oriented.
Germ conscious, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Poochie's uncle said that dude that hosted Family Feud, Richard Dawson, gave his grandmother the clap.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess Poochie's uncle's been around for a while now, right? I mean, I know he worked in radio for a while.
Yeah, he was in ad sales. But, Brian, I heard your movie review. Poochie's uncle wanted me to tell you that he hated The Wolf of Wall Street because he said that the shape of the Quaalude was wrong.
Oh, wow. Oh, it was inaccurate, historical inaccuracy.
So he went, when you review that film, okay, he wanted me to add that.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's very detail-oriented. I guess he was around during those days. Yeah,
he has some knowledge of that information.
They were like big, and they said like 757 or some shit on them.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so do we have some JV or all balls?
Yeah, let's start off.
Mm-hmm.
All okay, right. Hold on. Don't look.
All right.
Okay, losing wood in a foursome.
Wood and a foursome. And a foursome is two dudes and two chicks?
Losing wood.
Yeah, right. But there's another dude in there who found your wood.
Yeah, it's like you and your best friend.
Right, with two chicks.
Yeah.
And everyone's going together. And you lose wood. I feel like that's JV. I mean, you started the foursome. You couldn't finish it.
What could be more affirming of your masculinity than losing your wood when there's another guy in the room naked?
I guess. I don't know. Allison, what do you think?
I agree with JV. If you're up for sex, you're up for sex, regardless.
All right.
That's my irregardless.
Irregardless.
That's what I meant.
Right. Irregardless. That's right.
Okay. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Chris Christie.
And him shutting down that whole bridge.
Yeah. The more, you know, it's funny because when this first just sort of washed over me, it was a lot of like, all right. And then you start hearing about, you think about the guy who's going to his new job and being 4 hours late, or the old lady or whatever, just stuck in traffic. The idea that you're using people as pawns, to me, by the way, scariest sort of governmental thing you can do. The taxes and or I'm going to make a deal with my brother-in-law who owns he's a paving contractor, and I'm going to give him the account to pave the new stretch of highway. That's been going on for a million years. I almost understand it. This is just fun. This is just you fucking holding a giant magnifying glass over your constituency and burning them like ants because you can.
Well, you're saying it's JV. I'm saying it's all bald. Bro, when was the last time you shut down a bridge?
Well, I feel like all you have to do is threaten to jump off of one and you could get it shut down.
But that is true. But, I mean, this dude, people are always jealous of a powerful man. Uh-huh. And this is a man of enormous appetite. He probably lived in a lair like that, double the size of the fucking Batcave, bro.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So you're a big Chris Christie fan.
Well, I think what he did was power play. I respect that.
Okay.
No. What about this embattled and sometimes polarizing figure, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford?
You know, he provides a lot of fodder for, you know, morning shows and late night shows to talk about. We've decided that comedy should be exclusively at 6 a.m. and then at 11 p.m.
Laughter in between.
Not much at noon. We just want to see people impersonating doctors and faking their own death.
He's not afraid to get wasted with his own constituents.
I like when a guy gets accused of using one drug and makes the excuse that he was wasted on another drug as the excuse of why he participated in the use of one of the other drug. There's a part of me that likes this guy. I don't know why. He sort of is what he is.
The chutzpah there.
He's got one life, and he's living it.
Right.
YOLO.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I like his look. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see that mug on a billboard at Hollywood Highland. I'm seeing that movie.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. That's an interesting look. All right. So you're saying it's all balls?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
But what about Michael Bay's awkward address at the Samsung trade event?
I feel like that was JV because I feel like there was a little hissy fit involved, yeah. Which is – by the way, let me explain F you and then F me money. F me money is better than F you money. This is – I don't fucking care if I'm out the 500 grand. They paid me to do this. I'm fucking walking. Like any comedian – any guy who had a corporate, let's just take your average comedian who has a corporate gig where they paid him $7,000 to go out there and be the MC for that, would never just walk. He didn't have to walk on it. I don't chalk it up to nerves or whatever.
Unprofessional, though.
I've seen him interviewed many times. Yeah, I'm saying that's JV.
But, dude, he's one of our finest directors, and he was publicly deballed.
So, you're saying it's all balls?
Yeah, but. Yeah. No, JV.
Oh, JV. Well, we got to fix your
teleprompter.
No,
the whole thing that happened to him was JV. He needs to get his PR guy to set up a meeting with between Mr. Bay
mm-hmm.
and Dwayne Johnson.
The Rock?
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, Jason Statham and some other finest actors.
Right, so they could come together like a super project.
America needs Michael Bay right now to get back on his game.
No, I agree. I mean, he makes a lot of these films that are uplifting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. What about Flynn, a.k.a. Walt Jr. on Breaking Bad, getting snubbed at the Golden Globes? JV all balls.
Oh, man. Now let's see.
Dude, you got worked up over there.
Yeah, he's emotional. Is that because he's sort of handicapped or... Is that the handicapped kid?
Dude, he's got mild CB.
CB?
I'm a CP, bro. Sorry, oh. You got me all. Now I'm all screwed up, bro. He's got a mild case.
Cerebral palsy.
Yeah, cerebral palsy, CP. But, mm-hmm. I mean, this dude gets more boxed than the Memphis hub of FedEx.
Right, so he
that's a lot of box.
That's a lot of box.
Yeah, he gets a lot of box.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think he, but why, so why did they snub him?
Well, first off, I feel like the ultimate reward is that much box. You know what I mean? Like, if you gave me a choice, would you like a 9-inch brass statue or more box than the FedEx Memphis hub? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's laughing all the way to the box.
From the ladies I hear from, he does have a 9-inch brass statue. It's called his meat and bag.
you're counting the bag now.
Well, that's like the inch and a half at the bottom.
Right. Yeah. I don't like him being snubbed, but again, you know, being young, good looking, getting, you know, that kind of notoriety, I feel like it's going to land on his feet. But I know as someone with a disability.
I don't know if that was like a Freudian statement.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean that. Sorry. But as someone who suffers from a disability, I think you're weaving some of your own feelings into that.
I'll tell you this, there's going to be some hot chick landing on his meat puppet soon.
All right. So, but hold on, that's JV.
Yeah,
it's JV. Yeah.
What about the whole Golden Globes in general? I mean, look, you love Brent.
Right.
I love Brent. I don't like the idea of the foreign press corps coming to our country and telling us who has the best Brent.
And it's a different. Did you see it?
What next? They're going. Some French journalist is going to come over for the Golden Turd Cutter.
No, not the ass.
He thinks the Globes represent.
No, you got to watch it. It's for acting.
I know Globes, Jeff Reck, I mean something else in your lifestyle.
It's an acting. Lifestyle.
What is it then?
It's like, remember Pucci's uncle saw The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, he hated it because of the Quaalude things where it was not accurate.
Right. So that's like, all right, there's a movie. And then they would give a Globe, an award to Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, because he was in that movie.
This is not Best Rack?
No.
totally JV then.
Yeah, God knows what you think the Oscars are about.
I just. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What about John? What about John Hyatt?
John Hyatt. Love John Hyatt.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He tagged Shaved Ashley and Ashley with the full bush in a threesome.
John Hyatt?
Yeah, from Altadena. John Hyatt.
Sigma
Mu.
Sigma Mu?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no, no. I'm not a singer-songwriter,
his
John Smitty's
Hyatt. Cousin. John Hyatt.
Wait, this dude.
Jonathan Hyatt.
Yeah, how old
is... He's a sophomore.
Oh, no. No, I thought you were talking about John Hyatt, the singer... Writer.
It's like 60 years old.
Johnny Hyatt tagged both Ashleys at once. The first dude to do it.
Really? Ashley? Wait a minute. There's one. I know one is a shaved bush.
What's... One is a tri-mu. And the other one is the one who was one of the first to have a full shaved bush.
Okay. And he got both of them.
Yeah, Johnny Hyatt.
Okay.
John Hyatt.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. He wants people to call him John now because he's trying, you know, he's worried about like getting a job or something.
Yeah.
Something.
Right. Okay. No, I'm, yeah, it's just when you ask me about John Hyatt, I mistook it for something else.
That's hell yeah.
All right. So that's all. That'd be all balls then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about this war on bread?
Is it war on bread?
With the gluten.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
It's a simple yes or no.
Yeah, people are hollowing out their bagels. Mm.
Bagels are already hollowed out, technically.
Yeah, they're scooping out.
Oh.
They're making them into a moat, you know? And no, you know what I realize? Think about this. I don't know, but it's probably one of these L.A. things. But when I head out with my writing partner, Kevin Hinch, to pound out a little work on Road Hard, we go out to breakfast. We order everything, but we don't order toast anymore. You remember you'd come with that huge stack of toast? And
it's like a scoop of cottage cheese.
Yeah, you'd get that massive thing of toast. And so now it's like you get the omelet, you get the cottage cheese, maybe even you get the home fries or the hash browns. But I always tell him that to save the toast, and he always tells him too, save the toast, because the days are gone of you eating four pieces of toast. Right? And then I realize it's not like they deduct 39 cents. They simply don't bring the toast out. They don't have to toast it. They don't have to butter it. They don't have to bring it out. They don't deduct. I see this more and more. I'm wondering... I'd love a toast statistic. I would love to know the amount of toast consumed with breakfast versus, you know, 10, 20 years ago. I am feeling...
And I would like to know, the person that does order toast, are they getting a piece from 1992?
I think they are now. I'm just wondering if the place that formerly used to buy 50 loaves of bread, the breakfast joint, is now down to 12 loaves of bread because of that dramatic... It decrease.
They used to do that. You know, it was great because you go to, to go get breakfast, and the bread was the toast was pre-buttered. They would do that at International House of Pancakes. They would do it at other national houses of pancakes.
Yeah. I don't know if there are other ones.
Yeah, there were. You know,
regional ones.
Yeah, no. But if you went to the International House of Pancakes and I don't know, China or Kenya.
No, and what? I think they just call it International House of Pancakes. I don't think they're international. I don't think there's one in Denmark.
It says international.
Yeah, I know. I think they just do that. Like, you know, sometimes they'll say like world famous and then it's
they trick you.
Bob's Pizza. You know, it's probably not. If you traveled the globe, I don't think you'd find that people knew that pizza place.
So I guess it's JV.
Yeah, I guess it would be. By the way, is there anything better than this? The toast that gets heavily buttered, even both sides buttered, that part that gets soaked and saturated in the butter that's furthest away from the crust, in the center where it starts getting really thin.
And wilty.
It can't support its own weight. It's a little butter hammock sitting in there. And you just take a bite out of that one part. Like you go, I'm not going to get the crust. It's all dry. They didn't get any butter. By the way.
This is porn to Allison.
People, you people who apply butter need to focus on the perimeter. That's where they need the butter. This is basically like you
gilding the lily. It's already tender in the middle.
Right. Yes. If you are, that's the dry part around. That's the part. Yes. If you're going to put oil on a bicycle, don't put it on the fucking seat. Put it on the chain, assholes. But the part that needs the most butter
doesn't get any love or butter.
That's right. But that one bite. You know what I'd like to do? One day when I have F me money, I'm just going to simply walk around restaurants and take that one bite off of everyone's plate right in the middle. Just that big fucking half circle just out of the sweet spot in the middle, set it back, then walk to the next level. That will be my lunch.
You're going to have to sell a lot of mangria.
I know.
It's going to
be awesome.
You could give the crust to homeless dudes.
Oh, you should know this, DFG. I'm told here by Gary, IHOP opened in Dubai and Kuwait. It's an international push that started in 2012.
Hell yeah.
All right. Do you have one more for us?
Yeah. Okay. I have one more. What do you think about those NFL owners who wear those striped shirts with the white collars?
Like Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Yeah, where the cuff and the collar don't match. It is a definite rich guy move where the collar and the cuff are a different color than the body of the shirt.
JV?
Well, I don't – I've had shirts made for me. Actually, one of the nicest things they used to do – you guys tell me what you think about this. Jim Rome show. When you go and do people's shows – you get a commuter mug. By the way, there has to be a cap on commuter mugs. I feel like I'm lousy with commuter mugs. And it's also the kind of thing
disposable
where...
disposable for you at this point.
Yeah, I have a cupboard that has like 28 commuter mugs in it, and I can never use more than one at once, and there's never a situation where there's 11 people waiting to get in my car in the morning and I go, where's my mug? You know, it's like, it's just a commuter mug. But they give away the commuter mug. They give away mugs. They give away sometimes bathrobes, which are okay, but they're really shitty bathrobes, so you never really use them. And all that kind of stuff. Easy Allison.
Allison, yeah. Sorry.
What Jim Rome would do is he had a tailor. And the tailor would go, oh, I'm a Jim Rome's tailor. He found me or whatever it is. And he'd measure you up. Behind me, I got one arm's a little longer than the other. I have long arms that are just short. Shirts come up short on my wrist and measure you up. Do the whole thing. Get your full initials and have a swatch, a big fabric swatch pile. You just pick through your thing and you go, oh, I like this fabric. And they go, okay. And then you'd forget about it. Like 5 weeks later, you'd get a shirt custom made for you with your fucking initials in the cuff.
And a
watch.
That's
amazing.
No watch.
You said they give you a watch and a shirt.
No, just a shirt. But I really felt like...
He said swatch. He's reading
swatch.
Lips.
Oh, sorry. Swatch. I felt like Robert Kraft. I really did. Oh, that was swatch. My only custom-made shirt.
Swatch is a watch, too.
What?
You see what can
oh, swatch.
No,
shit.
I thought you said they'd give you a watch.
Oh, no, I said swatch, which is a watch. No, but not this one.
It's like, dude, you're at a football game, bro. Right. Wear a jersey. Look like you've been there before. This is
wear a jersey.
It's the gridiron. It's just not a Cadillac dealership.
Okay, I get you. You're right.
These guys are up there in a climate-controlled environment eating shrimps, sipping wines.
It's shrimp and wine, I think. It should be shrimps.
And by the way, Bob Kraft, Vladimir Putin called, you're not getting that ring back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. He says Putin stole his Super Bowl ring. But, yeah. It should be eating shrimps. You're right. Drinking
wines.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why it's not. DFG? You okay?
Sometimes I get a little bummed out that there's, like, only the white mangria and the original red mangria.
Well, you can mix them together, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a new product coming soon. It's called Bros Day. And it is the marriage of red and white mangria.
Yeah, we wanted you to do that a little more conversational.
Media training's really paying off.
They're coming soon. Last, oh.
We got Senator Bragman, Nyman, and Caffarel.
I had Pucci's uncle write me some copy.
Oh, no.
Lots of dudes don't have the balls. It says cajones. The balls.
Cajones,
to pull off pink. But Bros Day, the marriage of red and white sangria, is a way to show you are all bald and it has a really good taste and you can... you know, you're like, dude, look at the set on that dude sipping on the Brode.
Right.
It's got a good taste.
Yeah, no, I like it too.
But it's all these stores are carrying Mangria now. Mm-hmm. Fanwood Liquor, Fanwood, New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hooch's filling stations down in Anderson and Palmetto, South Carolina.
Did not know that.
Wow.
Even if you're up, hey, going to Rochester, New York, stop by Market View Liquors and get some Mangria. Or if you're like in Richland or Kennewick, Washington, just like go to Mid-Columbia Liquor Stores and reach in the cooler and grab some Mangria.
Thanks, DFG. I appreciate the plug, buddy. I would like to tell people they can go to fratguy.com if they want to find out what's going on with DFG.
Yeah, I'm sold out of t-shirts, unfortunately. Just stickers, mini funnels, and lucky potato keychains. Oh, and ID cards.
Blindsgalore.com. Over 2 million windows covered. Blindsgalore.com does one thing, and they do it better than anybody else. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements. Blinds, shades, shutters, drapes, even blinds that connect to your smart home or Amazon Alexa device. Blinds Galore has it all. It's great. I have the remote ones in my bedroom. You charge them. I charge them like once a year and they just go up and down all year long. Work it from your wireless remote or hook it up to your Alexa. Anyway, we have it at home. I have it at the studio. Have it in the edit bays. It's all Blinds Galore. Drew has it in his new pool house. It's good stuff, man. And they have a new Build a Blind tool. Lets you create and customize your window treatment online. See how your blinds look before you buy. From start to finish, measuring, picking out, installing. It's all Blinds Galore. Right, Dawson?
Whether you need more privacy, to sleep in, to cool down, or just to fix up a room, BlindsGalore.com is just what you're looking for. Check them out and let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right, that, I think, was the shortest Bollywood in the history of Bollywood.
The Dumb and Dumber 2 was pretty short as well, but I don't think it's that short.
Yeah, this is my most memorable Bollywood, just because it's just shocking. See, here's the thing. Brian doesn't usually review movies he doesn't like, and this was a scathing review in Bollywood's universe.
He had high expectations. I think we all did. Everybody loved Anchorman. It had really mixed reactions, if not just mostly negative, for the sequel. I remember I passed out during a couple times in the theater. I was just kind of bored. The things I wanted to happen actually did happen in the movie, but it just didn't feel the same. I wonder if going back to it now with a bunch of years removed, it might actually be funnier.
I will say this. I did not see Anchorman 2. I'm a huge Anchorman fan. Did not watch the sequel because of Brian's Bollywood review.
I think you should give it a shot.
I'll wait till your rewatch.
All right.
Thanks again, Dr. Henry Hill, for requesting that. And if you want to request a clip, just email us, classics@adamcroll.com. Tweet us, Instagram us, whatever. Find us online. Let us know
what
you want.
We're not ignoring you.
We are not. We are getting a lot of requests, and we really appreciate everybody listening. Now, this next clip, I'm excited because it features one of the two people that are talking to you right now. And it's not
the cooler
me.
One.
It is the cooler one. In 2009, Superfan Giovanni made his ACS debut.
I did. This is a clip where we talked about Hoffman Travel because he was asking me what I do for a living. And I was just explaining if he never stopped working Hoffman Travel, it's basically what he would be doing. And then it turns out Donnie got him the job there, which I didn't know. So they get into that. Then I clear up the mystery of the lyrics of the Good Times theme song for him. And we reminisce about him lighting his farts on Loveline. At the time, we didn't have the footage of it that we now have that's on YouTube. So it was a completely different era. And my voice is completely different, which is strange. I didn't imagine my voice would have changed from my 20s to my 30s, which is a clear sign I'm just getting older and closer to death. But it's hilarious to go back and listen to this and just really fun walk down memory lane. Ace Man and me, first time on the podcast. Check it out.
Basically, if you went to Hoffman Travel, never left.
Oh.
And it was actually associated with an airline.
Oh,
Hoffman Travel.
Wow.
Donnie had a job at Hoffman Travel. They got me a job at Hoffman Travel. That's it was literally Donnie. You know, please stop me if I'm exaggerating at all. Me in an office with 25 bitches. Now I'll be kind.
There was a couple.
21 bitches, 25 women.
Yeah.
Excuse me. 9 cunts, 13 bitches, and then 3 that just didn't care. And then me, right?
Yes.
I wouldn't call any of them nice.
No, everybody was into their own world. But the funny part was, once again, Adam with no confidence yet. Zero confidence. So these women are running him around.
Yeah, he's a bitch boy.
And they're like, where's Merv Griffin's tickets? I put them on the table! And I was getting yelled at. And it was literally me and 25 scary women. In yeah. one place, I got fired after I got arrested on my motorcycle, but that was my Hoffman Travel experience. Yeah. Imagine me at 19 working at a travel agency.
Yeah.
I could barely write my fucking name on a chalkboard.
Well, it was either that or carpet cleaning.
Yeah, well, I went from carpet cleaning to that. But anyway, so now you're here. Now, why are you here, Giovanni?
To interview you, kind of, I guess. Just
okay.
See what happens.
You're going to interview me.
Well, you know, whatever happens, fuck it. I'll throw some stuff your way. There's a bunch of stuff from Loveline and the Corolla show that never got resolved. I guess we go back to the morning show first. This was more recent. On the air, the last week of the show.
These are questions that people who listen might want answers to and never were provided
answers. Yeah, lots of fans will like this stuff. Mm-hmm. On the morning show, you promised to light your farts in the last week.
I did.
You promised me twice, and they promised two other callers, a lady and a dude. And you said you swore today you'd do it. I asked Chris about it at a charity event earlier this year, and he said, you're too big time. And I argued with him. I said, they're not too big time like farts.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when you talk about traveling through Europe. One of the things we did was pretty much just light farts all the way through Europe.
I was thinking you could do a video, light the farts, put it online for $1, farts for Brian.
Wow.
Lit farts for Brian. Lit farts ball Brian.
Donnie, we do have some footage from Europe, do we not?
Yes, we do.
We definitely could.
I can keep people from pirating it.
We definitely could put lighting farts for Bald Brian. Yeah, people don't. Yeah, you're right. I owe a lit fart. I'll only do it in jeans.
That's I told on the morning show. I said, make sure Adam wears jeans. Brian, you bring the Bic. Teresa can be the light operator because she didn't want to be anywhere near it.
Yeah, you got to get the lights. It's almost like a slideshow at noon. It just doesn't play. You have to go get the lights. And do it. And still controversy swirling over who was holding the cigarette. But again, Donnie and I have lit a cigarette off a fart.
The oldest telling we have, the first time you told it, it was Donnie lighting. But you've done both over the years. So we don't know. It's probably both. Well, I'm thinking you're both done.
I argue with him that it was my fart, and then he argues that it was his fart. So
we have only one recording of it that we've managed to save. It's with you and Drew. And Drew is so disgusted at first. This is like 98, so this is early on in the Drew-Adam love affair. Mm-hmm. And by the middle of the show, he's amazed. He's like begging you to do more. Like you're like Bill Nye the Science Guy doing tricks for him. And he's having you shove lights. He's like, oh my God, it's huge. It's blue.
Oh, so you actually did do it on Love.
Yeah, you guys have the file on the archive I gave Adam. Well, actually, I gave you another one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I just thought maybe it was a storytelling. You actually lit
one.
Oh,
no, he did it on air. I have
no recollection
and
of
then,
it.
And Drew laughed, of course.
Not laugh.
At first, that's disgusting, but then
1998,
he's laughing.
Barbara Bush would laugh her ass off if you lit a fart in front of her. You can't not laugh.
You can't.
Chicks, by the way, are blown away by it. Like, they can't imagine that flame. Well, you power find a flame ass. Coming from your body. You know what I mean?
It is bizarre.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Well, anyway, all right. Fart lighting. Yes.
Fart lighting. And then, let's see here. What's we got? Okay, Good Times LL. Remember on Loveline, the Good Times thing came up like throughout 98, 97. You were obsessed with the lyric, hanging in a something.
Hanging in a jar line, hanging in a bread line, hanging in a soup line. Yeah.
You heard hanging
keep
in a jar.
Keep our head above water. Yeah. Making a, hanging in. Oh, yeah. It was hanging in a jawn. But it sounded like they said hanging in a jar line.
Yeah, okay. I have a definitive answer for you on this.
Okay, because this is the theme from the song Good Times.
Okay, I just got this batch of tapes, and on this batch, there was like 10 shows in a row where you did it. And every time the guests had to bust your balls, tell you, no, you're wrong with your assumption, your original one was hanging in a jiving, but they said it doesn't make sense, so hanging in a jar line was what you came up with as well. So you had hanging in a driving and hanging in a jar line.
It sounded like hanging in a jar line is what they were saying, but that doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
So hanging in a jiving
was your other one. That's what else what you said. You really said maybe it's this, and then all the callers came in with the hanging in the jaw and the chow line.
Right.
And even on like Chappelle's show, they did this definitive ask a black guy bit.
Right.
And they go, oh, well, it must be chow line because we're so poor in the 70s. Right. If Drew said it would have to be the original singer-songwriter to give the definitive answer, I found the guy in line. The answer is hanging in and jiving or hanging and a jiving. He's not sure, but it's
so
one of those two.
I was sort of right.
You're 100% right from the get-go. So you said before Jarline, you said hanging and jiving.
Yeah, hanging in and jiving.
Yeah.
Right. So, but they pronounced it Jarline.
So you were right along.
Thank you, Giovanni. Thank you for that vindication.
And we're still
been
missing.
Keeping me up at nights, by the way.
And that was Superfan Giovanni on the Adam Carolla Show for the first time.
I'll be back.
You'll be back. You've been back since as well.
Yeah, well, like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, and we utilize you pretty much every week anyway. So you're always a part of the show. I really enjoyed that interview, and we hope to have you back on again.
Well, thank you, executive producer. We have another really great choice clip coming up here.
This one, I can't wait. Probably our most requested clip, I think.
Definitely our most requested, yeah.
And rightfully so, because this is the origin of Aisha Tyler's drop, 3 Times Fool.
Exactly. This is from the KLSX Adam Carolla Show. This is from August 7th, 2008. This is her second appearance. Actually, it was her third appearance on the show. She appeared 4 times, once in 2007 with Bonaducci and 3 times in 08. Fool. And on this one, they're talking about a list in Teresa's News of the kind of weakest male superheroes. And they're talking about Iron Fist, who nobody knows anything about. So you get Teresa reading about Iron Fist, which sets up their lead into the next segment where Aisha Tyler's going to be joining them. And Adam's talking about, yeah, she should be on some of those hottest chick lists. She should be on something like that. And then as soon as she comes in, they get right into it. She lets the drop go, so much so that it sounds like Brian's laying the drop in, like it's not actually happening. And then it went off on a whole bunch of other subjects and tangents and just kind of cut it short there. But it gets set up for the clip and you get the origin of the drop. It's pretty epic.
We're opening the vault to 2008, Aisha Tyler on the Adam Carolla Radio Show.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
The 9 least manly comic book heroes.
Oh, no. Are they all men?
Mm. Yes.
All
right. 9 least comic book heroes?
Comic book, least manly, this according to a website.
The little-known Marvel Power Bottom?
Oh, my God.
Power Bottom did not make the top 9.
He communicates with aquatic life through his ass.
Interestingly enough, the least manly comic book hero, the number 1.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man's a wuss 3/4 of the time, right?
Well, the number 1 is Aquaman.
Oh,
really?
Good.
Because his power is to live underwater and talk to sea creatures.
Yeah.
It's kind of yoked, though. He's a swimmer. He's got a swimmer's body. Got that B.
Number 2. From the Transformers.
What?
Bumblebee.
It's actually kind of true.
Because he transforms into a VW bug.
He's got a kind of a fey British accent in the movie.
He doesn't turn into a Countach.
True. Yeah, he doesn't.
How about Michelangelo?
From the Turtles?
Right. Yeah. He's got a catchphrase.
Cowabunga, dude?
Say it. Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean,
right. And what's one of the Olsons say on Full House?
You got it, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does Urkel say?
I don't remember what he said.
Do it.
Do it.
What does he say?
Who, me? Was that me?
Did I do that?
There you go.
Thanks. Number 4, Mr. Fantastic. Why is he not manly?
Made of rubber.
His superpower is to stretch. Yeah.
How about his cousin, Mr. Fabulous?
Oh, no.
Bruce Banner, the alter ego of the Incredible Hulk, makes the list.
Hold on a second. You can't take the wimpy alter ego and just separate them from the...
That does not seem fair. What about the G.I. Joe Shipwreck?
Oh, how dare you.
Not only is he a sailor, he's a petty officer. How about Thor?
What?
Dresses up like a Viking.
A Viking with a huge hammer who's kicking your ass.
And I have no idea who this is or why he's the 9th least manly superhero. Iron Fist? What is that?
It's Teresa. Someone's playing a joke on you.
It's right here on the list.
Someone's messing with you.
Iron Fist.
I asked Bill. He was there last weekend having a smart cocktail. Bill, why is Iron Fist at the top of the list?
What's at the bottom of the top nine?
And what's going on with karaoke night over there, and why won't you do it again? Who the hell is Bill?
About Thor.
I'm behind her.
Have you been to the Iron Fist?
No, I was at... Well, that's it was turned into Mr. Fister.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. It's like when John's bought Vons and they didn't want to spend a bunch of money on the sign.
Yeah, changed the one letter.
Hacked off a couple letters.
Literally one.
Half a letter.
Well, that is it for me.
By the way, listen, there's nothing that screams low rent than when you change the sign marginally. Like, you're too effing cheap to go with a new name for your market. I think there used to be a chain out here called Vons, and they turned into, I think, like Mexican markets. So they went with John's, which A, is a horrible name for a market. B, when all the other letters on the sign are sunblasted and bleached out, except for the first letter, which is shiny red, and the others have turned a shade of light orange because they've been hit by the smog and the sun of Southern California for the last 23 years, except for the first letter. At least age down the first letter so it doesn't scream, we've modified our sign in the world's cheapest market. Yes?
Yes, and I've got some information on the Iron Fist.
Oh, no.
His real name is Danny Rand, and he was part of a duo in the 70s called Heroes for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Danny was of the duo.
Mm.
The least manly.
Time has not been kind.
And water-soluble lube boy did not make that list?
No, not so far as I could tell.
Listen, I don't know why I'm yelling at a list that has a Ninja Turtle on it and getting upset, but...
I thought Raphael and Michelangelo were
more manly?
This list has no validity at all because when you take... Bruce Banner, when you take the mild man, you take Bill Bixby, you take the alter ego of the baddest ass on the planet and say, well, when he's not the Hulk, he's pretty mild-mannered. That is not an excuse to put somebody on this list. This is the Hulk is on this list, not
this
Bill
is
Bixby.
This is an outrage.
And Peter Parker is far more of a puss anyway.
Yeah, it's like saying, oh, Mike Tyson's not a badass when he's walking into the courtroom and leaving. Yeah, when he puts the gloves on and gets in the ring, then he's a badass. So what do you want him to do? Just constantly be on an ass kick? Like, someone asked the Hulk for directions and he throttles them and squeezes the life out of them?
It's a Marvel comic universe. We all just live in it.
You know what this is like? This is like when those FHM lists come out, and then it's like 100 hottest hotties on the planet. Rumor Willis is number 9, and she's followed by Nicole Richie. And it's like, all right, now I got to toss the list out. You've just done that. You've rumor Willis-ized my Marvel badass list.
You mean Bruce Banner is the rumor Willis of this list?
Yeah, it's null and void now. Of course he's mild-mannered, and then he turns into a killing machine.
Well, I am Teresa Strasser, pumping my iron fist into the air at the unfairness of it all, and that's the news.
No.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser, UCNN.
Look, that was my reaction to rumor Willis being.
No.
I'm not being cruel. If you said
you're not,
no. Look, I'm being realistic. If you said, look, there's FHM is coming up. GQ magazine has a list of the 100 hottest male celebs in Hollywood. Number 21, John Lovitz. I'd be like.
No.
No, he's not a good-looking guy.
No.
That doesn't mean he's not funny. Doesn't mean he can't make a living. He's
or
just
a nice guy.
Not,
or maybe
that doesn't mean anything other than he should not be on that list. 10 greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Chad Pennington. No.
What about best hair?
Point is, that's... This whole thing about Nicole Richie and Rumor Wells. Look, I'm sure you guys are delights. I'm sure you have talents that are unknown to me. I'm sure you're great at cocktail parties, and I'm sure lots of fellas like you. You don't belong anywhere near that list.
I bet you Isaac Hayes doesn't like Nicole Richie. He probably doesn't like a bony girl.
No.
Speaking of beautiful and meaty, Aisha Tyler. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Now, there's someone who should be on that list.
I'm sure she's been on many of those lists.
I'm sure she has as
well.
Not
enough.
Yeah.
No, but she's a big, tall glass of chocolate milk and a bit of all right. And the idea that Nicole Richie would be on any of those lists ahead of Aisha Tyler, and I'm sure it's happened a baker's dozen times, is an outrage, is it not?
Yeah. Well, listen, Aisha Tyler distracts people by having things to say that are funny and insightful.
Well, way to put the pressure on, T.
That's good.
She'll be in studio next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm straight. I'm married. I'm attracted to men. And I am straight, you know, the way that most girls are straight. You know, just like a little tiny gay. You know what I mean? Just a little, oh my God, you're so soft. You smell like strawberry. That's awesome.
Aisha Tyler on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times.
Oh, yeah, those were good times.
Aisha Tyler.
Like some bi-curious material to get the kids giggling.
Oh, kids love that.
Oh, yeah. Girls making out's hilarious.
She did make Maxim's Hot 100, by the
way. Three times, fool!
I only got a, I only have you an 02 and 05 here.
Oh, no. No, 01, 01, 02, 05.
Mm. What happened in 3 and 4? I mean, he couldn't have taken a drop.
Those were the crack years.
Somebody dumped acid on her head.
And then I miraculously regenerated a new one like a worm.
You are.
Those were the crack years, you know, I had to take a break.
You are beautiful.
Oh,
baby.
You're so kind. Yeah. You're so kind. I like big and juicy. That was, or whatever you called me.
Well,
meaty.
Meaty. That was nice.
I know.
It's like a carnivore's endorsement.
I know nobody wants to be called
meaty. No chick is thinking.
No. Not no. Yesterday, someone said to me, you know, you're looking really robust. And then they took a beat and said, you used to look wayfish, and now you look robust.
And then
and I was
they
very
pulled
depressed.
Out their list of SAT words and tried to impress you further. But
lose the weight, chubby.
Robust is not good.
Yeah,
it sounds like somebody's uncle.
All right, let me tell you about Noom. Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about learning healthier habits. Noom, that's N-O-O-M. It's a habit-changing solution. It helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Gina, how's this been working?
It's really cool. I struggle. Sometimes I struggle harder than others. And I'm in a struggle right now. And I thought, this is perfect for me. They are so supportive. And they really do hold you accountable while still inspiring you, which is a tall order because a lot of time you're accountable and you feel nothing but shame and you're just kind of you're not doing your best because you're not feeling your best. But they are really supportive and really help motivate. And they really do focus on long-term goals, not crash diet stuff. So I'm really enjoying it.
It's based on cognitive behavioral psychology, by the way. And it teaches you why you do what you do. It's those habits. And that's what we need to break you of. It's not a diet. It's a healthy, easy stick to way of life, and you can check it out, man. Find out what's good and what's not good. Just commit 10 minutes a day. Do it for yourself. Make yourself healthy. It is Noom, N-O-O-M. Right, Dawson?
You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/Adam. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/Adam to start your free trial today. That's Noom.com/Adam, the last weight loss program you'll need.
And that was the origin of probably the most played drop on the Adam Carolla Show.
Definitely the most played drop from the morning show that translated over. Not all the drops did. Bonaducci famously had an assistant or someone delete all of Brian's drops between the 2007-2008 break after he was let go. I recovered all those drops for Brian painstakingly with exact timing from when he used them. But I think he was just so upset about it and didn't want to reload them or something. He just never bothered to do it. So 2006-2007 drops are mostly all lost forever. The stuff from 2008, very few have kept their way to the current day show. Isaac Hayes would be another good example of something that's made its way over.
Sometimes. All right, let's go on this next clip. But before that, a reminder, we're doing a last-minute live show in Lexington, Kentucky. All right, we're going to the South. So it's going to be at Comedy Off-Broadway, September 20th, live podcast. So we're bringing everybody. Gina's coming, Brian's coming, Dawson's coming. We want you to be there. So make sure to get tickets. They will go fast. That's September 20th in Lexington. All right. Now, this next clip, Gio, it's from 2011. Erin Brockovich came in.
The real lady.
Yeah, the real one, not Julia Roberts playing her.
They mention that a little bit. They get into it a little bit in the interview. It's Adam Carolla Show 723. It's from December 2011. It didn't air until the 20th, so it's not going to make Ace Awards. It's kind of one of that weird Forgotten Zone episodes. People are like, that episode happened? That episode happened. Adam seemed to love her. They hit it off great. It's basically her whole interview. She was a really fun guest. I'd love to hear her back on the show again.
From 2011, Erin Brockovich. Let's go.
Yeah, back with Erin Brockovich. Nice to meet you, Erin.
Hey, it's nice to meet you.
I'm a fan.
Oh, thanks. I'm a fan of yours.
How? Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for like 20 minutes, and then we'll get into the new book. How
that works for me.
I was saying off the air, or maybe on the air, can't remember anymore, but the fact that the movie was named after you, mm-hmm. It wasn't called Deadly Soil, it was called Erin Brockovich,
is
cool, because most of the time when they do those kinds of movies, they give it a name, and then they might give it like the Erin Brockovich story or something or anything.
Yep.
It was called You, and then Julia Roberts played you, and then she won the Oscar. I mean, could it get any better than that in the movie business?
Yeah, I guess it couldn't get any better in the movie business, but for me, in my real life, it's just been kind of the strangest thing that even continues on 11 years later. Sometimes I don't know how to wrap my mind around it. And how the whole thing started was a fluke.
Well, how did it start?
It started with a girlfriend of mine by the name of Pam DuMond, who's a mm-hmm. chiropractor. And mm-hmm. I really had a car wreck like they showed in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam would be treating me for ongoing problems and did cranial work. And every time I was laying on her table and getting all relaxed, I'd share stories with her about the biker dude, PG&E, collecting dead frogs, the whole thing. What I didn't know was she was good friends with a woman who was Michael Schomburg's partner, who was Danny DeVito's partner at Jersey Films.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman, Carla, couldn't believe that there was somebody running around in stilettos with a foul mouth collecting toxic waste.
Right.
So she asked to meet me, and I did, and that's how the whole thing started.
And Carla was also the name of Danny DeVito's wife's name at Cheers. Yeah. So how does it all start for you? Where do you grow up? Where do you go to school? Like, how does it begin? What do you think you're going to do when you're getting out of high school?
Oh, when I was a little girl?
Yeah, or a little girl.
I was born and raised in Lawrence, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm from a small town. I'm a kind of, country girl. I grew up with a learning disability. I have dyslexia.
You do?
I do.
Did they, was probably not diagnosed
not
back
diagnosed.
Then?
And I was always labeled, I was actually voted the girl least likely to succeed in
high
school.
Did they have that?
Well,
but
amongst all my friends, we certainly did. But, I was able to laugh it off because they were least likely to do a whole lot of things in my world. But we were a good group of friends. So
I was voted the girl with the biggest penis, which didn't mean I had a big penis. It's just for a girl back in my high school.
Yeah.
But so you had a learning disability, but you didn't really know what it was.
No, but, I always, wanted to do something. I always had high goals for myself, but everyone else told me I couldn't do them. But I had some great parents who just taught me to, you know what? If you just believe in yourself, really, and you don't have to take direction or listen to what other people are telling you, they think you are. You can decide for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did.
And
that's what got me through. Yep.
And when did you find out you had dyslexia?
It wasn't really until later in life, probably maybe the first year in college, second year in college. So for years, they didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was just some type of learning disability that I was tagged with. And they're always wanting to push me into some type of special ed.
But you went off to college. That's pretty good.
I went to college, yeah. Well, the first year I went to Kansas State, I kind of partied my way out that door. And then I went on to a school in Dallas, Texas, and got an associate's in applied arts degree. And then I moved to California, and I actually worked at Fluor Engineers and Constructors. And I wanted to become an engineer, because my father's an engineer, and it kind of came easy for me.
Right.
But then I met my husband at the time, and I ran off back to Lawrence to do what I thought I should have done and get married and have babies.
What did he do?
He was a painter at the time.
Oh, really?
Yes, born and raised in California, had his own painting company, and he did well. And
then he painted houses or commercial buildings?
Yeah,
or
both.
He was a painter. Was that kind
painter,
of painter?
That kind of painter. Had his own painting business.
Because first, when he said he was a painter, I thought he was an artist.
Then
he said he made money, and then I realized he was painting
condos.
Yeah, a
painter. And we were so young anyway. My gosh, I think I had my son Matthew at 22.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, that was just my idea of what I thought I was supposed to be doing. It kind of had a conflict.
By the way, the book is called Hot Water. And it is...
That's my middle name.
out available on Amazon as we speak. You can also go to Brockovich.com if you want to find out more about Erin, or Erin Brockovich 1 if you want to Twitter her. Is this your first novel?
Second.
Is this your second novel?
Uh-huh.
See the way I do that?
First one was Rock Bottom. Quick.
That's right.
Oh, another place I've
it's
been.
It's up there
yeah,
now.
There it is.
Yeah. And so how then do you get back to Los Angeles from Kansas and get started on this life that Julia Roberts chronicled in her Academy Award winning portrayal?
Well, my husband at the time in Lawrence, Kansas, he just had to leave Lawrence. He could not deal with tornadoes and the cold weather.
Sure, you can't paint in a tornado.
Yeah, he did not like it. So by then we had two babies, and he got a job as a district manager in restaurant business. Mm-hmm. Then moved us to Reno.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in Reno for quite a while, and we got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And I had friends in Los Angeles, and I had my car wreck in Reno. And I came to Los Angeles with some friends, and that's when I got a surgeon. I had my neck surgery done, and believe it or not, I had an attorney that I found here in Los Angeles, and that's how I started working at the law firm.
By the way, we're going to be at the Reno Nugget, Sparks Nugget, Saturday,
Are you
December
really?
31st. Yeah, that place is crazy. I like Reno because when you walk into one of those casinos, they're like, hey, sorry, Ms. Crow, I know you're a celebrity and everything, but rules are rules. You're going to need to smoke. I don't smoke. Well, you can hold the cigarette. It's going to be lit. You don't have
Shirley
to.
Temple.
We can't force you to inhale, but you understand if you're not smoking. I love Reno. I love this old room, old stage. They kept the elephant back there, and they can see the marks where the elephant was digging at the floorboards and all this kind of stuff. I don't know what's so exciting about that, but I mean, every big name person has rolled through that town back in the day. Yeah. So you were there back in what day?
In the 80s.
What was Reno like back then?
You know what? I didn't dislike it back then. I don't know that I'm a fan of Reno today, but maybe that's just because I have bad memories of a second husband and everything that happened in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, sorry, and I've got a watery eye here. I love Reno because I love Tahoe.
Yeah, Tahoe's beautiful.
Yeah, so going up and skiing in the winter and in the summer, being at the lake, and that's what I enjoyed most about Reno.
Lake Tahoe is spectacular.
Yeah.
It just is. It's a lot of people, I don't know why it's not on their list of places to hang out, but I went there. I went to Tahoe for my bachelor party.
Oh, that was probably fun.
Screw Vegas. I'm tired of Vegas. We're going to Tahoe.
Is Cal Neva right there?
I don't know.
I just love that there's a town called Cal Neva.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's where the casinos are, right on the border, I think.
Yeah. Look how
Tahoe's absolutely beautiful.
Spectacular.
And, you know, sailing in the summer and jet skiing and hiking and snowing in the winter. For me, that's why I loved Reno.
Right.
You're looking at it.
Beautiful. Emerald Bay right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Spectacular.
So have fun in Reno.
Now you come, now you come out and you work for a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And how does the whole, I don't know, detective
how does it start?
Yeah, how does
well,
it
you
start?
Know, it happened kind of like this show in the film. Ed Masry brought a box in. He was actually looking for another secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Ed never wanted to hire me.
Why not?
He used to make jokes all the time about, other than being able to sit up by myself, what could I do? Because he was referring to my bust.
Right.
And I'm like, ha-ha, not very funny. You know what? People can make jokes like that with me, and I really don't ever take it too personal.
Sure.
I mean,
why not?
You know, he was my attorney. It was a joke, and I took it as a joke. But he really didn't want to hire me because I don't think he really thought I had any skills or anything.
Is that him?
Well, that's a horrible picture, by the way, of both of us. But where'd you get that? That's embarrassing.
Marvelpictures.com.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Marvelpicturesofguests.com.
Did you hate that? I'm like, really? But yes, that's Edward.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a kid. There's me and
There's
Ed.
A better picture.
There's a better picture of
right?
Ed and I.
Uh-huh.
Ed, my God. Ed has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I just adored Ed, and he was a great, great, great friend.
And he takes you in,
but
and he gives
takes
you a
me
job.
In, gives me a job, and like you saw in the film, they were bringing in a box. He was bringing in a box. He was actually looking for another secretary.
Mm-hmm.
But she was at lunch, which is what got us into the whole, you know, maybe I should rethink my wardrobe situation because he didn't know why I wasn't at lunch with the other girls.
Right.
And he asked, basically, they didn't show this in the film, but what happened in real life, he asked us if I knew what I was doing. And I said yes, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew how to open a case file for him, but I didn't know really how to go further than that. So I kind of made it my business to start looking in the box to see what was in there and start reading some information. Maybe I could educate myself and do good at my job. Mm-hmm. And that's what started the whole thing, is because I wanted to do a good job. And I started reading what was in there, and what I was reading didn't make sense.
And the whole, what was the story of Beverly Hills High? Mm-hmm. And you make a face, because I don't know whatever happened with that. But I remember there was something involving you and Beverly Hills High, and they have basically an oil well. Mm-hmm. On, is it on the property, or it's adjacent to it, or whatever it is? They have it dressed up with flowers, but it's
right,
still an oil
well.
That's
the oil derrick, and underneath is like an onshore oil platform. And Beverly Hills High frustrates me because, see, what you do is you can go in a door and walk downstairs, and you're underground, and it's like an oil platform under there. And what they've done from this point is directionally drill through the city in several different locations. And
really?
They're bringing crude through here.
It's right in the middle of Beverly Hills, in Beverly Hills High. There's mm-hmm. there's an oil platform. It's mm-hmm. really weird, and no one ever talks about it.
There are
certain areas in the city, like down La Cienega or whatever it is on the way to the airport, you'll pass by some places. And on the way down the Grapevine, you'll mm-hmm. pass by some places where James Dean bit it in his Porsche Speedster, his 550. But this is weird because it's this flowered smokestack that sits right off the running track at Beverly High. Like, they're playing football games, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's these are underprivileged, super rich white kids that have to be exposed to these. So what was the story with that in you? Because
the reason I get frustrated was there's a lot of kids during a certain time period that we are well aware of, from about 1985, mm-hmm. maybe 1988, into around 1998, 99.
Mm-hmm.
Over 450 kids from the school with cancer.
Really?
Yes, really.
Wow.
And the law firm.
And those kids are 20 years old. They're 22 years old.
Okay. Correct.
They're not 80 years old.
No.
They're 20.
So we're looking at kids in their 20s with Hodgkin's, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, lung cancer, dying.
Right.
Over 450. I still have kids that have graduated from this school into the, like, 2000, 2001. They're coming down with cancer that are reporting it to me.
Wow.
And, you know, I just think that that's really odd. So I got involved, and, of course, we find out about this derrick that's basically built on top of the high school, which is part of the problem.
So is it first that people start seeing all these cancer cases coming out of Beverly Hills High?
Well, how Beverly Hills High started for me was a young girl. I was at a book signing in Beverly Hills when I did my first book, Take It From Me, Life's a Struggle, But You Can Win.
Mm-hmm.
And she was towards the end of the line, and I was thrilled that we had a nice turnout.
Right.
And when she finally got up to me, she was kind of shaking. She was a young girl. She's 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she started crying. And I said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "I'm just tired. I just, you know, finished chemotherapy." And mm-hmm. I was like blown away.
Right.
Somebody so young with cancer. So she started telling me the story. And what was interesting was she had gone to her oncologist, and there was four of her classmates sitting there. And they all had the same cancer.
And these kids are kids that, you know, their dads didn't work in coal mines, and they went and hung out with them on bring your kid to a coal mine day. Do they do that bring your daughter to work day at coal mines?
I don't think so.
And, you know, they weren't eating a bunch of, you know, food that had a bunch of lead poisoning and stuff.
No.
These are privileged kids that are eating well-balanced, good mm-hmm. diets, getting plenty mm-hmm. of exercise, and probably have humidifiers in the room, and are getting all their shots and everything else. And there's no reason why this group should get cancer.
No, there is none. And what happened was, you know, it kind of went sideways in the litigation department. And this oil derrick is a part of the problem.
Who owns that thing?
I think, well, it sits on school property. So
they get the money from it?
I believe they do, yes.
Wow, it's a weird...
And, you know, part of what bothers me about the oil platform is we even have documents that show the fire department, when we were starting to make complaints about benzene being airborne out here,
mm-hmm.
they went out and started testing, and some of the methane gas readings were so high, mm-hmm. they left the derrick because they thought it was going to explode. That in itself bothers me. You have a group of high school kids and a oil platform, not just one, but there's many under there, that has methane so high that there could be an explosion. And I find that unexcusable.
How long has that thing been there? For 40 years or some incredible amount of time? It's been there as long as I can remember.
Yeah, it's been there for about that long. I think in the 60s it started to come up.
And is it used, just for people that don't know how oil platforms work?
And we're looking at like a picture of a tower that's probably 60,
it's hard to see because it's all underneath the ground. Mm-hmm. And this is just kind of its location where it all comes through. But they actually have directionally drilled through neighborhoods and cities.
Oh, right.
It's fascinating.
They're drilling out underneath Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh. Directionally drilling. That's how they can get to the oil. Mm. And we forget, I think Los Angeles is like the third largest oil reserve around. If you go look at old historic pictures of L.A. from like the 20s, it's nothing but derricks like that as far as your eye can see.
Even if you see an old movie like Gone in 60 Seconds or something, you'll see them driving on down La Cienega or whatever. Yeah. You see oil derricks everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right.
And so this was part of the problem. Another part of the problem is right behind here is Semper Energy, and it is a self-sustaining energy for all that Century City area.
Mm-hmm.
And they use lots of hexavalent chromium, and they had a airborne plume in the area as well.
Do they pump that stuff out of there? Because I never see a truck or anything
pulling
up.
They pump it through other locations through there.
It's
so
really
when you
weird.
Go under there, there's like these, looks like at the bottom of a ship, there's these big wheels that you turn so they can open and close oil and gas as it flows and transfers through there.
I'll tell you, the only upside to this tower being so close to campus is when a Japanese kid gets an A- on his trig final. There's something to jump off of. That's the only upside. This thing. And those two buildings over there, I think, are this a Century City?
Century City.
Yeah. Those two tall ones. And right in front of it, you can see an area where Semper Energy is, which was also part of the problem. And
So you have all these kids getting cancer in this very short period of time. Mm-hmm. But you can't pin it to this, or why is it frustrating?
Because what happened was the attorneys really were arguing what was happening with the oil derrick, which I believe was a portion of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no records showing any benzene readings. There's no records showing that there's all these problems until we came out there. And then all of a sudden, people start coming and testing, and they're finding some problems, but they're not finding benzene that they think can harm the kids.
There were high levels of it from 88 to 98, and then they've cleaned it up, but no one took a sample of it when they had the high levels of it.
Yeah, no one was testing.
So. It's a weird thing, because here we are, especially in this day and age, with all the peanut allergies and airborne allergies, and everyone's using Perel and stuff. You have a full-blown oil derrick on the richest, whitest school in
and
the
it's
country.
Okay.
And it's totally cool. Well, that's it. I'm sending my kids to Poly High to be stabbed instead. I don't want a slow, agonizing death.
They go
like heroes in the street.
You know, we go through this whole legislative process here in California to remove vending machines from schools because Fritos are bad for our kids, but you're going to convince me having an oil derrick sitting on top of a public high school where we've got over 450 kids with cancer, that's okay?
I don't like Big Frito or Big Oil. Or
so,
Big Pharma
big
or Frito.
Okay,
or Big Dorito.
I'd rather eat the Fritos.
These big, fat cats and the Big Doritos.
It'd be Big Potato.
Big Cheeto's the worst.
Big Bugle's the worst, those guys. They got the Congress bought and sold. Yeah. All right. Should we do a little more news? By the way, as I've said, Aaron Brockovich is here. The book, Hot Water, and it is out as we speak, available on Amazon. And you can check out Aaron's website, brockovich.com. You doing signings or going around, or where can we find you? Is there anything coming up? And if we go to your website.
Well, my website's getting ready to go under major construction. The main thing that we're starting to work on my website is, you know, I get about 60,000 emails a month, and I've been tracking and trending people reporting information to me about contaminated sites, bad pharmaceutical drugs, things that are happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm now in discussions with Google to create this whole space on my webpage where we have an interactive map, and we're going to call it the People's Reporting Registry.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't it interesting, you know, more often than times things are reported by agencies or someone else. They're never reported directly by the person.
Right.
And what we're going to start doing is tracking people's movements so we can possibly look at the clusters of diseases we're seeing and place them back to a location and possibly make a connection between environmental pollution and some of our disease process.
And so that'll be coming in the new year,
Be coming in the new year. And we'll start posting. You can see up there where my lectures are.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly have a place now to see the book. But it's getting ready to expand, especially as the Google map expands.
My lectures take place in my dining room.
Oh, yeah, there you've
my,
got.
My
yeah,
kids
that's
a nanny.
This is right now. This is frozen. And this is what we're trying to design with Google. Mm-hmm. And we're in discussions to do. There's 1700 spots right there where mm-hmm. people have reported to me excess disease in their community. And I'll give you an example of one place in Middletown, Ohio. They're mm-hmm. in and around a steel company. And they have become concerned. They're a small community, yet they have now 59 neighbors, 59 of them, have come down with glioblastoma cancer in the brain.
The same cancer.
The same cancer. 59 of them, where I have researched and been told by experts, because I'm not the doctor or expert, that you see that glioblastoma in about 1 in 100,000.
Right.
There's 59.
Right.
And if we don't start taking a look at what people are reporting, and again, we don't track people's movements or where they've gone or don't necessarily place them back to a place. But
sure.
if this map doesn't tell you anything, it says, look, something's wrong out here. I just don't think 1,700 communities in the U.S. have gone so off the reservation.
Right.
They've got nothing better to do than to report fake illness. I just don't think that's
really
happening.
It's really interesting using the technology sort of against technology, because the technology – these companies, I don't mean technology companies, but these companies that were part of the last century that were pulling up the ore and making the steel and sucking mm-hmm. the oil out of the ground. Now we got the satellites and the Google Earth and the
and we're starting to see kind of what that
yeah,
what,
see
what
the
that
patterns.
Development has done to the environment. And this begs us to look at what it is. If we don't find a source, we'll never find a solution. And so this is, for me, this is the environmental side. I'm also starting to track pharmaceutical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is people reporting. And what we're going to do is make this a live map. So mm-hmm. you can come in and out and actually get right down into the town and the location, and people can begin to report information, and their dots will come up live. I had a group of girls come to me out of Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and Facebook, isn't Facebook fascinating? Because it stitched us back together again. These
right.
long-lost buddies that
sure.
we didn't know
just when we
where
finally
they had gone.
Gotten rid of
yes.
them.
So what happened was these group of girls found each other again. There was 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They all had cancer.
All of them.
All
wow.
of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we traced them back to their high school that was built on a landfill.
Interesting.
See? And
yeah.
so again, the purpose of that is to make an association or a link. Is our environment and the pollution causing some of our disease process?
Right.
And we're never going to know if we don't look at it. But see, I believe everything that makes us who we are today and sustains us as a society and has made Exxon, Exxon, is coming from the environment. And we can't just keep taking and taking because eventually it's going to be depleted. And these chemicals can cause adverse health effects.
You're like an Indian with big boobies.
And okay, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, you should.
If someone does get sick, how do they figure out whether it might be an environmental factor?
Well, sometimes they can talk to their doctor about it. There are certain chemicals we know, and that's another thing that's fascinating for me that's happening on my website. I'm having more and more doctors
contact me. Let me answer for her. Once you get enough people who went to the same, once they figure out they all went to the same high school, then you can start
taking a look at it.
I'm talking about if you're just the solitary person, though. Like, how do you start to?
Well, part of what happens, and that's a really good question, is we report if we get cancer. If you got cancer, your doctor knows it, but your doctor reports it. You mm-hmm. don't necessarily report it. And what's happening when people are reporting to me is we're asking where they're from, and oftentimes we don't do that. You know, and this is why I think we miss disease clusters, and this is where I think we have a hole in our cancer reporting system, because you may have grown up, you could have grown up in Hinckley, California, for all I know, and been exposed to hex chrome for 20 years, moved to Florida, come down with cancer, and when you report it, it gets reported as a statistic
right.
in Florida, but the exposure for you happened in Hinckley, and that's what we believe we're going to be able to start doing on this map, is place potentially hundreds of people who are located throughout the U.S. back to one source.
All right.
Did I lose you?
No.
Am I boring you?
No, I got
sorry,
you.
I'm sorry, telling me to shut up.
No.
I get off on that. But people can report it. This is what we hope this will do, is that they can report it to this registry as well.
Right. No, it's good. I'm just saying, I don't mean to jump the gun, but what I'm saying is you report your thing, and then you find out if other people are reporting
Correct.
The same thing in whatever
Right.
neighborhood you grew up in or whatever high
Right.
school you went to.
And that's what we're finding out we're doing in here. I can go in and trend a town, Middleton, Mm-hmm. Ohio, for example. And what the system will do when I query it, it will bring all the inquiries, because people could write me from Florida and say, I grew up in Middleton, Ohio.
Right.
But now I can query it, and they will all come together.
Yeah.
And then that starts to tell me even a bigger picture. And then what I go from there is I'll take a specific disease that they might be reporting, and then it will pull from everything people reporting from all over the U.S. that may have the same particular disease from the same particular town.
You've become Big Sister.
And then we can run.
Right. Yeah, I like
it. We can analyze it.
I love when technology is used not just to, you know, look into your neighbor's backyard, but
and that's exactly what I was trying to do here. I was like, how could I possibly take this information and do something responsible with it that could help find a solution?
All right. I got to do a quick spot for our good friends over at Auto Shepherd. Allison, you cue up the news mm-hmm. there and be ready. Auto Shepherd, you ever work on your own car?
No.
What?
No.
You're so hands-on.
Not on a car. That is, yeah.
I bet Julia Roberts does a little wrenching.
Does she?
Did she have to hang out with you to get your laugh and get your vibe?
No.
What the
you
hell?
Know, I,
sucks.
Always, I, that wasn't my call. Steven Soderbergh said, you know what, there's a mannerism between the two of you that one or the other wouldn't know. He said, but I don't want her to just come along and mimic you. I want her to actually understand Mm-hmm. you, and mm-hmm. That's kind of how it rolled.
Mm. Look at her, that push-up bra. AutoShepherd.com.
Butcher Box delivers healthy 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork. That's the stuff that's got the marbling and the fat on it, old school, like you remember. Wild Alaskan salmon direct to your door on a monthly basis. Choose from four curated boxes or customize your own box. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. This stuff is the real deal. I eat it on a nightly basis. The only thing you'll be thinking about is, God, they didn't have to do this good, but they did it, mm-hmm. man. Most of the time in life, you kind of open the box and you go, it's not quite what it looked like in the picture. This is better. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. Cancel anytime. And you get free bacon for life. So as long as you have a subscription, you will get free bacon plus $20 off. Go to butcherbox.com. Enter the promo code Adam at checkout. One less thing to think about. Free bacon and butcherbox.com. Promo code Adam. Get the $20 off.
And that was Erin Brockovich on the Adam Carolla Show in 2011. Great interview. She loved Adam. And on Geo, I remember finding her very pleasant, very nice, and kind of intimidating.
I think that's how every dude who's ever faced off against her in a courtroom or any other place disagreeing with her has ever felt. Debate stage.
She's a confident woman, and I like it. You know who else is a confident woman? Suzanne Summers. And she was on in 2009 during the old format of the show.
A one-on-one episode, again, in the December era. It came out December 10th, 2009, Adam Carolla Show 217, featuring Suzanne Summers. She comes on, they quickly reminisce about John Ritter up top, and then I cut ahead to later in the episode where Adam asks her about her house burning down in Malibu, and the Coastal Commission, and all the stuff he loves to reference about what it's like having property there, and once it's gone, basically the inability you have to restore what you once had. And she's really calm about it, but she agrees with every point Adam's making about how she would have happily done any kind of favor to get her house rebuilt. From 2009, Adam Carolla Show 217.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Excited to bring Suzanne Summers on the podcast. Suzanne, I guess you get this a lot, but I feel like you're part of my life. I've known you my whole life, even though we've probably only met once. I think you did Loveline some years ago, Loveline the radio show.
Radio.
But,
right.
Of course, I grew up watching you on television. We'll get to your book. We'll get to cancer. We'll get to everything in a second. First thought was, I guess, John Ritter.
Yeah.
I loved that guy.
Me too.
I thought he was one of the just most genuine, nicest guys in the world.
best physical actor of that generation. It was so interesting acting with him because it was like a ping pong ball game mm-hmm. between the character I was playing, Chrissy Snow, and mm-hmm. Jack Tripper. It was like if I paddled that ball across the table, it came back right away. And that was what it was like acting with him. I've never had anybody like that.
And I was just talking about what a great guy he was.
Okay.
I mean, he's a great actor.
No, he is a great guy.
Physical actor,
he's uncomplicated. But he's uncomplicated and nice, and he had his head on right. I liked being with him.
He just had a great presence.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought he was one of the nicest. I don't know. Him and Henry Winkler are the two Hollywood guys, right. I always say these two are nice,
right. and they were friends.
In a sea of a-holes, he was. It was an island of nice
and funny.
Yeah,
like genuinely funny.
Yeah,
and we would laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh.
Shifting gears for 1 second. Mm-hmm. What didn't your home burn down about 10
yes.
years?
No.
About 2 years ago?
Yeah, so I've had a couple bad years.
That seemed devastating to me.
It's not for sissies.
It was in Malibu.
Yeah.
You were on the other side of PCH.
Right.
And most of the time, the fire stays on that side
right.
of the PCH.
I was on the ocean.
Yeah.
At the fire department, 200 yards away.
Yeah, and it jumped over PCH,
right.
which usually...
caught onto my tree.
Usually, like I said, most of the stuff sort of stays on the inland side of,
right.
of PCH. It hopped over... got on the tree and then got on your house like that?
Oh, my house was gone in 9 minutes.
And I'm sure there were things in there that, keepsakes and things like that.
We have a safe.
Uh-huh.
A fireproof safe. And I had my first 7 books, which I wrote longhand, which mm-hmm. I really wanted. And I'm married to a paranoid Jew, so he uh-huh. keeps a lot of cash around. So
yeah.
cash.
Good
and
to
I
know.
Kept my jewelry in there.
Where are you living now?
Yeah. Well, no more.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, he kept guns. I knew he kept guns in there, but I didn't know he kept ammunition.
This is going to get funny, right?
Yeah.
Now, let me just see if I can guess. All right, let me see if I can guess what happened.
Okay.
The gun-toting Jews, boy, you look out. The safe was fireproof, but it still heated up enough to set off the ammunition. Is that
you
correct?
Got it. Bingo. Everything.
There's a lot of holes in your manuscripts now?
Nothing. It was all powder. And we got
really?
A safe cracker.
Oh.
The guy,
oh.
By the way, you call a safe cracker. A guy came with tattoos all up and down
sure.
his arm.
Oh, well, the best ones were in the joint.
Right.
I'm
he
sure.
was. He opened that safe in like a minute, like that. And we look in,
so
and
it was
it's just
large,
a bunch of powder.
It was like a large fireproof, like almost like a gun safe.
Yeah.
And safes always say fireproof, but,
right.
you know, I kind of wonder, like, there's watches that are water resistant,
right.
and then the ones that are waterproof.
Right. right.
And this should have been fire resistant,
right,
but not
right.
fireproof.
Right. And I said to my husband, you kept your ammunition in the safe? He goes, well, yeah. I said, what were you going to do? Excuse me, just let me get my ammunition out here.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I saw the news. I mean, it was like a horrible fire. It brought the house just down to the foundation. I mean, literally nothing left.
Nothing.
And the plan was, thank God we got the fireproof safe. Hopefully something is left inside the fire. And it was literally just like a crematorium in there?
Nothing. Nothing.
Now,
nothing.
Had the fire penetrated the safe, or was it the ammunition
the
going?
Ammunition. But then the whole house blew up because the fireball caught the tree. It was uh-huh. so hot it jumped the house, hit mm-hmm. the ocean.
Uh-huh.
The torque of the ocean took that fireball under the house, ignited the gas line, and the house blew up.
Wow.
And we had left about 2 hours before that.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to go to Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And but we were going to go the next day, but we decided, let's go today. We kind of moseyed out of the house. And as I pulled into the house in Palm Springs, the phone rings. It's a neighbor. He said, Malibu Road's on fire. I think it's your house. I said, no, I just left. He said, turn on the TV. And I'm watching TV, and this helicopter is doing a play-by-play. And he said, I don't know whose house this is, but this house is a goner. And I'm thinking, I know whose house this is.
Wow.
And then the phone rings. You know Stephen Eady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stephen Eady Gourmet?
Right.
Yeah.
So, Steve Lawrence.
Well, I don't know him, but Steve Lawrence. Right. Yeah.
So the phone rings, and it's Steve Lawrence. And he goes...
I just saw him in the Blues Brothers two nights
right,
ago.
Right. Now, this is all just so real. I'm watching my house burn, and now the camera turns, and I watch my Jaguar blow up. And the phone rings. I go, hello? And I hear, Suzanne, baby, your house is on fire. I don't know why, having Steve Lawrence say, Suzanne, baby, your house is on fire. I started laughing as, oh, baby, you always had the greatest sense of humor.
So crazy. Blues Brothers was on cable last night. I was just watching Steve Lawrence in the sauna scene.
Right.
So it's surreal. You've rebuilt.
No.
We're
in Coastal Commission.
I will rebuild.
I'm patient. I'm real busy, so.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm renting. I'm homeless.
What people don't realize is Malibu, it basically goes like this. I used to be a contractor. Mm-hmm. California is a horrible place to build things in. Mm-hmm. It's really a horrible place to do any kind of business in, but building is bad.
The worst.
L.A. is worse than general California. Then you get into Malibu.
Which is an animal.
And it's completely insane. Like, you didn't think you could get any tougher, any more ticky-tack, any more chicken shit, or any worse right. than just building in Los Angeles.
It would have been easier to get a raise on Three's Company
right.
than building
Try
this
Malibu,
house.
Right. And then you get the Coastal right. Commission
Coastal
involved.
Commission.
And it's literally 5 years and 50 grand worth of permits, and you got to go down to City Hall and blow a few guys, and then maybe you can pour your foundation.
If there was somebody at City Hall I could do that to, I would do it. I can't find
me
one.
Me too. Just looking for that guy.
Right.
And it's all, by the way, for the privilege of you then spending $2 million to build a house.
Correct.
And then pay them thousands of dollars in fees, and then pay thousands of dollars in taxes once the house is finished. It's funny.
World.
It's they treat it as if they're going to come build you a house.
Right.
That's not how it works at all.
No.
You just are doing this for the privilege of building your own house. I think we have a phone call for you, by the way, Suzanne Summers.
And now Suzanne Summers. In 2009 on the Adam Carolla podcast. I love her, man.
Get her back and find out if she has ever got her house rebuilt or what happened with that.
We need to know. Everybody needs to know.
Plus, parking lot.
I have a lot of step-by-step questions. Before we get to our last clip, I want to remind everybody, we release a show every Sunday as well on the Carolla Classics feed. So if you're liking this show and you're listening to it on the Adam Carolla Show feed, go into your podcast app, whatever you're listening to this show on, find Carolla Classics and subscribe to that, and you'll get another episode tomorrow, just like this one.
Gio, Adam is subscribed to it.
Even Adam subscribed to it. Be like Adam. Now, Gio, what can we expect tomorrow?
We got a doozy for you. We got some more stuff from the vault. We have Skylar Fisk and her co-star Colin Hanks from Orange County on separate interviews, just coincidentally on the same show. We got another episode with Robert Schimmel. I chopped about 25 minutes off of it. It's the whole entire thing. And we got a live performance from the Plain White Tees.
I can't wait. The Plain White Tees, one of the greatest musical performances that ever has happened on the Adam Carolla Show. And we do a lot of great musical performances, and I'm glad that we're going to revisit them. But we're going even farther back, because I left that vault open, Gio. And
I love it.
In 2008, on the KLSX morning show, Lisa Loeb came in studio to perform.
She's returning to the show while searching for the 3x fool drop because we could finally use it. I was looking for all the Aisha interviews. I found this one. It wasn't the episode, but Lisa Loeb came in studio. They reminisced briefly, not in this clip, about Dawson coming in his finest dress to ask her out on a date a few years prior. They get into a little bit of other fun, but she mainly in this clip, they just play live in studio. One day in the future, we will play that infamous clip of Dawson. Dapper Dawson getting ready to ask her out live on air, which will be a highlight. Maybe next week we'll even play that one for you. But until then, Lisa Loeb, 2008. Check it out.
Sad. Lisa?
Yes.
You got a song to play for us?
I do. I'm going to play a song that's on the purple tape.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably be playing this tonight. But this is a song. It's about being shy, and it's an old song.
Now, this goes way back to the days when you're playing the coffee shop.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how she was
discovered. Before the record deals.
Yeah, this is a song called Guessing Game.
sorts of things that are not true. I could tell a half-truth, but I cannot tell a lie. I could tell a story that is 10 feet high. Oh, oh, my stomach flutters and I feel sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with a broken shutters and this is not a guessing game. My stomach flutters and I feel sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with a broken shutters and this is not a guessing game. So that you and I could be we. And I could say, oh, it's a must that you and I should be us. And all the answers I would guess, and you would be so, so impressed. But I would never get a yes, 'cause I have not the guts to guess. Sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with a broken shutters, and this is not a guessing game. My stomach flutters, and I feel sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with a broken shutters, and this is not a guessing game. I could be listening, but this is not a guessing game. I'd guess all the answers, but this is not the same. I could be trembling, oh, I could be ashamed. I could be wallowing, wallowing when y'all think I got it made.
Lisa Loeb, everybody.
That was beautiful. Thank you. It was.
Oh, it must be nice to be you.
I was just thinking that. So talented.
Oh, you guys.
So cute.
This is
talented.
Wait, check this out. I brought these to this. I found this in my guitar case. It is a collage. Talking about montages, it's a collage that somebody brought. When you get to be a musician, you get to go to record stores and play and do autograph signings, which I used to go to when I was a kid. I was a huge music fan, and I would like go see Flock of Seagulls, and we'd make them a cake, and
you'd show
people,
up.
People bring you collages of pictures of yourself.
And by
I found
the
these in my guitar case.
By the way, pass those over here, please.
Just you know, if you want to, it's pretty hilarious. What people will bring you sometimes.
Wow.
You can bring Lisa Loeb stuff tonight because she's going to be playing at Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
I was about to say that. Bring her some cookies.
Oh.
And a collage.
You know what? I got to say about the cookies, you know? You're not allowed to eat cookies and stuff that people bring you.
Oh, really?
You don't know what's in it.
I did a radio show for 10 years. Crap would show up in the mail in foil. And me and Drew would eat it every night. That's right. From Minnesota in a dented box, loosely wrapped in foil, and we would eat it.
Packed in actual popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
LegalZoom. Summer's almost over. And so is National Make-A-Will Month. Don't waste another minute. No better time than right now to make your will or trust. Let's do it with LegalZoom. Over 1 million people have used LegalZoom for their estate planning. Mark Garagus, super attorney. Mark Garagus goes to LegalZoom because if he can get it done there, he can get it done faster and cheaper than even he can do it in his own law office. So, still time to take control of your family and the assets, and a nice living trust would be good. Not sure which is right for you? Go with LegalZoom. They have a network of independent attorneys who can advise you on the best for your family, for you and your family. Because LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you never worry about the billable hours. That's why you go with LegalZoom, right, Dawson?
Make things easier for those you care about the most. Check out LegalZoom's Last Will and Living Trust estate plans right now during the final week of National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. And to receive special savings, be sure to enter promo code ADAM in the referral box at checkout. That's promo code ADAM, only at LegalZoom.com, where life meets legal.
All right, and that was Lisa Loeb on the Adam Carolla Morning Show on KLSX in February 2008.
She's always great when she plays live. The live performances on the morning show do not sound as good as what you guys got going on the podcast now compared to like the plain white tees and other stuff, but It's still really interesting to hear this. This is the best quality we still had available. She's playing From the Purple Tape, which was her first release from like New York City when she was young. And she talks about all that in the interview. And they remastered it and re-released it back when this aired. I actually love this so much. I went out and I bought that album. And I listened to it all the time. I was walking to and from my job when I first got to Illinois. Really great album. And it's really cool to find music from Adam Carolla on Loveline or The Morning Show or now the podcast. A lot of good guests come through who have really interesting projects. And music I normally wouldn't pick up. I'm like, oh, this really sounds amazing. I'm just going to grab that album. And this is one of those instances.
I agree. And unfortunately, you can't get these radio clips anywhere else except for Carolla Classics, so make sure to tell a friend. But if you want to hear the full versions of the podcast that you just heard, where do they go?
Podcast One Premium, home of all your favorite podcasts. You can find the entire 10-plus years of the Adam Carolla Show archive there. You want to listen to anything we played today? Well, mostly. You can find it. If there are any clips you want us to play from those episodes, let us know. We'll play them.
Sounds good to me. And also make sure to check out the Water Cooler show I do with all the Carolla Digital guys. A little behind-the-scenes look of what it's like to work on the Adam Carolla Show and more. So make sure to subscribe to that. We'll see you tomorrow on the Carolla Classics feed. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.